It is great to sing about the power of Christ in our lives and what that does to transform how we live and how we walk. As you know, we have been going through Hebrews 11, and we have been looking at what it means to walk by faith. And so this morning, we are continuing through this chapter. We are in Hebrews 11, verse 31. You can turn there right now as we get started. Growing up, one of the things that you may have done when you were either at youth group or at school or playing sports was team captains. When making two teams, two people get selected to choose who they want on their team. And so they go through, maybe they choose the people who are their friends, maybe they pick the people who they think will do the best for their teams, but eventually somebody has to be picked last. Right? Someone has to be picked last. And something similar to that happened this summer as we are getting ready for this series. Pastor Rob sent out, here are all of the people we are going to be preaching through in Hebrews chapter 11. And so to those who are preaching this summer, he said, go ahead, put your name beside who you want to preach on. Now, I was a little bit slower to this. And so one day Rob came up to me and he said, Brad, have you chosen who you are going to be preaching on? And I said, well, who's left? And he said, well, there is the Canaanite prostitute who lies, if you'd like to preach about her. And I said, well, is there any other option? And he said, that is who you'll be preaching on. So this morning, we are in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, and we are looking at the story of Rahab, who we know as Rahab the prostitute. And it might seem like, well, why is she in here? Why do we see this life of faith? Yet this morning, I am very excited for how, when we look at this story of this woman, we are going to see how she displayed an amazing faith in Christ, an amazing faith in the God of her salvation, so that she was saved. In the last few weeks, as we've looked through these heroes of the faith, we have seen many miracles done. We have seen how the sea can part. How can that happen? How can Sarah give birth in her old age? How can the walls of Jericho fall? Well, today the question and the miracle that we are going to be seeing is, how can a sinner be saved? How can we find purpose in life in this world that, when we are living for ourselves, can just seem like there's not much out there? And so how can we find a salvation, and how can we come to have a relationship with the Lord? Let me pray quick, and then let's look at this passage together. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true. And I ask that as we open it this morning, and as we look at the life of Rahab, you would draw us closer to you, to be those who can be more passionate about walking by faith, that we can have a confidence in you that surpasses life's circumstances and life's fears. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, Hebrews 11, 31. I'll turn there myself. And this is the verse. It's quite short. It says this: by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. This morning, we are going to see three things from this short verse where we see the faith of Rahab and how can a sinner be saved. The first thing we are going to be looking at is the faith of Rahab. Then we are going to see the works of Rahab. And lastly, the reward of Rahab. In context of Hebrews 11, this is how it describes faith. We've looked at this every week. It says this: now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so as we start with our first point, the faith. How did Rahab have this conviction of things not seen? What was she convicted of? What did she place her hope in? What did she believe? Well, it boils down to two things that she believed. First is what she believed about who she is, and then what she believed about who God is. We see this in the book of Joshua, and this is what we read this morning. We're going to look at it again. Joshua 2, 10 and 12 says this: for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. This is Rahab talking to these spies who she is protecting and talking about what she believes about their God. And the first thing we see from this is who Rahab believes about herself, what she believes about herself. She understands that she is a sinner. She's under the judgment of God. Israel is coming, and as they're going towards the promised land, they are going through these nations. God is using them to judge, and Rahab understands that they are next. They have also been living in a wrong way. These Canaanites living in Jericho, they were sinful. They practiced child sacrifice, idol worship, prostitution. Rahab understands that they are the ones next because of how they have lived. But Rahab didn't just stay in that, knowing that it was wrong the way that she was living, but she understood that she needed to change, that the way she was living was wrong. And the reality is that when it comes to most people in this world, most people don't have a problem with God, but they have a problem with a God who is their Lord and says, hey, you need to change the way that you are living if it is not in line with what I have said. There may be things you have to change if you are going to follow God. And Rahab put her hand up and said, I'm willing to change because I recognize the way that I am living is not right and not correct with God. And people reject God because they love their freedom to sin too much. It's not that they can't wrap their heads around there being a God. It's a problem with, well, if I believe that, then I have to change. I have to accept that I have to live for a God, and I don't want to do that. I want to protect my freedom to sin. Can you imagine a man who feels totally normal, he's feeling healthy, but he goes in for a routine checkup, and upon getting some tests, he finds out that there is a disease in his blood, and the doctor says, hey, we need to start some treatment, because over time, this is going to get worse, and it's going to start affecting other parts of your body, and so we should get to work and start doing some treatment for this. Now, what if the man went to the doctor and said, well, but I feel normal. Nothing about me seems wrong. I can still do my normal things. It doesn't look like there's anything wrong with my blood from what I can see. And so I don't actually need your treatment because, you know, that's going to inconvenience me. I don't want to have to go to the doctors to worry about that. So let me just do my own thing. I feel fine. That is how a lot of us think we can see our need. We can see our sinful nature. We see how we live. But we haven't looked at God and say, God provides an answer. He provides a solution. He provides healing. Rahab saw this. She knew that this is with a God she could trust, but it started with her understanding that there was a problem. That is why she needed God, because without God, she stood under the judgment of him. The next thing we see is who Rahab believes God is. Who is God? In Joshua 2:11, what we read, she says, for the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. We don't know how exactly, but again, the people in Jericho, they had heard of Israel and what they had done with the Egyptians and what they had done with other nations, and they understand that Israel serves only one God. And if this God is with them and he is the one fighting for them in this, Rahab recognizes that my idols I'm worshiping, the things I'm submitting to, they are nothing in comparison to that God. She recognizes that God is the only God. That is the faith that she's placed in, even when she can't necessarily see that. She also understands this, that God can forgive. What we see in Joshua is that after she's made this declaration about who God is, she then says, can me and my family be spared because of our protection of you. Her understanding of herself as a sinner, understanding that she should be judged, collides with her understanding that this God that she just barely knows is a God that can forgive her. The only way for her not to be destroyed, not to be judged, if God in the midst of being just and right could also be forgiving and loving, which we know that is exactly who our God is. There is judgment awaiting the sinner. There is a penalty. The wages of sin is death. But for the one who will repent and turn to God, there is forgiveness. And so she is told to place this scarlet cord outside of her window. And when the Israelites come in and they take Jericho, she knows that her and her family can be safe. And so these are the two things that Rahab is convicted of with her faith. She's convicted that she is a sinner. She sees before God, I am unholy. I am under the wrath of God. I will be judged just like everybody else, the nations before and the people I am with. But then she also understands that within that, if God is the judge, that if she can know this judge, if she can know that this Lord is loving and forgiving, and that to those who repent, they will be saved, then she believes, she's convicted of this, I will now serve this God. So that is the faith. That is what she believes. The next thing we see is the works of Rahab. In this text that we are reading, it says that by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the sky, to the spies, not the skies. Within this, we see here that the reason why she did not perish is because of her actions. Well, why is that? Again, here we have Israel. They are coming. They are on this conquest through other nations. And Joshua sends these spies as they are about to go into Jericho next. And so these spies come and they find lodging with Rahab. And so Rahab keeps them safe. And then the king of Jericho finds out about this and he sends men to ask, are the spies here with you, Rahab? She lies to them and says, no, they've gone out another way. They are not here. And the reality is that she's hidden them on the roof. Why is Rahab protecting these spies? In her doing this, this is an act of treason against the king. This is putting her and her family's life at risk. This is a dangerous thing to do. The reason why she's doing this is because what we've just talked about, her faith, the small things that she is convicted of, that I am a sinner, God is real, and I will serve this God now, those small things that she is convicted of compels her to act. That is why she is doing this. In this moment, we see that Rahab truly believes in God. Her faith was an action. In James 2, 24 to 26, we see Rahab again used as an example. And James here is explaining that faith without works is dead. And it's important to know that in this passage, James is not telling you how to be saved. He's not telling you that if you do enough works, that's when you will be saved. That's when your faith comes into play. No, he's saying if you've experienced God, if you believe in him, the evidence of that being a true and real thing in your life so that you know you're saved, so that you know you are justified before God, the way you know that is then how you live your life. So James 2, 24 to 26 says, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Again, this points out that this was the moment that it was clear that Rahab trusted in God. It was because of her actions. It wasn't just intellectual things that she understood and said, yeah, I guess that's real. Maybe I'm a sinner. Maybe God is real. I guess I'll kind of believe those things. What shows that she believes it is how she acts. And that is how we live out our faith, is how we actually act when we are faced with a circumstance where we have to say, am I going to choose God? Is my faith going to lead me to act in obedience to God? Or is my beliefs about myself and about the world going to draw me towards what disobedience is? Because I say, maybe God is real. I can just say that. I can believe that. But it hasn't actually impacted how I walk. That is a problem if that is the case. When I was in high school, one of the first jobs I had was reffing hockey. And every year when we would go to start the year, we had to do a quiz, a test where we'd go through some of the rules. We'd have to know the nuances of the game. So when we were placed in situations, we knew this was the correct call to make. This was the right and wrong call to make. Now, when you are watching sports and a ref makes a call, or you're in a circumstance where a judge has to make a call, does your opinion of the ref, is it based on how well they did on a quiz earlier that year? Or is it based on, in the moment, whether or not you think they made the right call? I point that out to say the ref could know the right rules. If you gave them a quiz, they could check off all the right things. They could ace it. But then when it comes to the moment where they have to show, they have to display, hey, I can do this, in the moment where something happens quickly, are they able to make the right call? Or then do their reactions take over and they make the wrong call or they mismanage what is going on? For us, we can know the truth, we can know things about God, but then when we are in the moment where we have to make the decision, what takes over? Is it our instincts? Is it that sinful nature that we've talked about? Or is it our faith in God being so strong where we go, God, I believe you, and I will worship you? Rahab's faith in this moment, again, the small things. We've just talked about her understanding that she's a sinner and understanding that God is Lord of her life. We haven't gotten into big theological topics, all these things of talking about who really is the character of God and all these things. These small things compels Rahab to act to the point where she was willing to abandon the culture, abandon the way that she had lived, to put her temporary happiness, her temporary comfort at risk so that she would obey God. Now we see that Rahab's life was full of sin and selfishness. We understand that she is, right, a prostitute. She engages in idol worship. We see even in this story that she lies. She is not perfect. So did one good work just outweigh the bad? Is that what we were reading in the Bible, that because she just did this one thing, God looked at it and said, well, that tips the scales. You've evened it out. Your bad no longer matters because you've done enough good. No, that is not what we see. Because her being saved was not dependent on what she did. It was based upon who her faith was in. And our God is a God that you don't have to have the most faith in the world. It's not about you doing the most things in the world to be saved. That is not what the Bible teaches. Even a small faith that knows of small things like Rahab, and to the sinner who says, God, I repent and I will turn to you, and God, I want to live for you. I don't even know what that looks like full yet, but I want to take a step towards you and say, God, I will live for you. I'm ready to listen to you and I will obey you. To the one who says that, God has salvation for that person. And it's not dependent on what they have done, but it is dependent on who they have trusted in. And when you trust God, and when you truly trust him, then that will be evidence in the way that you live your life, in every corner, in every part of it. When you have faith in someone greater than yourself, then you serve someone greater than yourself, and then you trust that person. You trust God, even when it might risk your own comfort or your own happiness. And so has your belief in God changed the way that you live? By us examining the works of Rahab, have we seen that when we have faith, it then drives us to act, drives us to obey? And these actions do not save us, but they point to the fact that I trust God and that me knowing God has made a difference in my life. And the glory goes to God for showing that in our lives. The glory goes to God for revealing himself even in Rahab's life and bringing Rahab to himself. The third thing we are going to see is the reward of Rahab. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Well, what is the reward of knowing God? Well, in this section here, we see a few things. The first primary thing is that she did not perish with the disobedient. That's what we see in Hebrews 11:31. She did not perish with those who are disobedient. Again, pointing out that she's actually in that category. She's in the category of the disobedient, yet she was spared because she trusted God. She deserved on that day to perish with them. And so this first reward that we see in the story of Rahab is salvation. She was saved. Her and her family were saved physically. When Israel came in, they went and they saw that the scarlet robe was hanging out, and they went and they said, okay, these people are safe. They are with us. And they took them and they kept them safe. So her and her family were saved physically, which gives us a picture of how they were also saved spiritually. Eternal life. For those who will put their trust in God, repent and recognize, I'm a sinner, I'm in need of God. If I stand before God and I do not have a trust in him, I will be judged like Jericho. But to those who have faith and trust in God, they will be saved. The second thing we see is adoption. That's the second reward that we see. She was not just spared. When she and her family were saved, they did not say, awesome, you're saved. Now it's your turn to just wander and figure out what you are going to do next. No, she was brought into the nation of Israel to be a light to the nations. We read in Joshua 6:25, it says, but Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent out to spy Jericho. She stayed in Israel. People in this nation of God could go and talk with her or talk with her descendants, understand the faith that she had. She was not just, yeah, I'll trust in God with you right now because I'm in a scary situation and then I won't ever again. No, she stayed with the people of God and said, I will continue obeying you. And her being brought into this, her being adopted into the family of God, shows an amazing thing, that God has a redemptive heart for all people. Because again, who is Rahab? She is a Canaanite. She is not an Israelite. She is living in sin. Yet God's kingdom is open to all peoples. Doesn't matter where you are from or the sin that you have done in your life. That is not a prerequisite to come into the family of God. She is forgiven. God does not view her as this lying Canaanite prostitute. She is righteous in the eyes of God. She is truly a daughter of God. And we're going to see that because of what Jesus has accomplished. So we have salvation. She is saved, then she is adopted. She is brought into the family of God. And that is the same with us. When we are saved, we don't just say, awesome, it's me and God going forward now. No, that is why we have the church, to do life with other believers. And the third thing we see is participation. When, again, when God brings people into his family, when he saves them, he brings them in for a purpose. Not to just say, awesome, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Let's just live the rest of my life and do whatever I want to do. No, he says, I have a plan for you to participate in the greatest purpose that you could imagine for your life, and that is joining in the mission of God's redemption on earth. As mentioned, Rahab is brought into Israel. She is now to be a light to the other nations so that when they are going around, just like Rahab did, where she saw who Israel was, she recognized who the God of Israel was, and she said, I am going to join that because I know that that is different than what I'm living in. That is the truth. What I'm living in with my idol worship, my falsehoods, and my evil, and my sin, that is not what the truth is. Even when her whole culture said that, she said, no, I see that. That is what the truth is. I am going to live for that. And other people could recognize that and join in with that. Now, there's another verse that has Rahab in it in the Bible, and it ties this together in a very beautiful way. And this verse is at the beginning of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verses 4 and 6. It's a genealogy, usually the part that we skip or we find it difficult to read out loud because of all the names. But we are going to read this part, and it's going to show us something amazing. It mentions here that Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David the king. In Matthew, when we are reading this, it is unusual because when you have a genealogy, usually it follows the men. That's who it follows. Yet in here, we see that Matthew has pointed out two individuals, women, Rahab and Ruth. And there are Tamar and Bathsheba are also mentioned in other parts. But this is unusual because these people are also, they are not Israelites. As he's showing, how do we get from Abraham to Jesus? How is this promise fulfilled of Jesus coming as king from the line of Abraham and then to David? When Matthew wants to make this point, he includes these women and these foreigners here. Why does he do that? Well, first is because in talking about the participation, when we are brought into the family of God, then there's no second-class Christians. There's no second-class people of God. God says, when you are in my people, I am going to use you, and I'm going to use you in amazing ways if you step out in faith. And this is what we see for these people in the culture who, for them, they wouldn't have been considered the people that, yeah, that's going to be a person who God is going to use. Yeah, they're going to be the ones that God is going to do something in their life. Yet we see that with Rahab in this story, she becomes the great-great-grandmother of King David. And from David, we know, comes Jesus. And so God's plan to use Rahab was to use her for redemption of all people. That is an amazing thing. That is what all of these people are looking ahead to in the Old Testament. As we look through Hebrews 11, when they place their faith in God, they're ultimately placing their faith in Jesus. Because again, how could Rahab be forgiven and not judged on that day when Israel came through? The only way that she could be forgiven is if God's justice was poured out in another way. Instead of Rahab suffering, someone else would suffer. And that is what we see with Jesus. That is why Jesus came, so that those who would call on the name of the Lord and say, God, I recognize that I have not lived for you. I have lived in wrong ways. That to those who recognize that and say, God, you are Lord. I will worship you. God has made the way for you to be forgiven. That is why God used Rahab to bring about Jesus, so that through God's plan from the start, he would bring Jesus into this world so that we could be those who would be forgiven. God coming as Jesus so that he could bear the full wrath of sin against him, and so that there would be no need for those who place their faith in God to be judged, because the judgment has been served. Rahab was declared righteous on that day because her sins were paid at the cross with Jesus. That's how God used Rahab in each and every one of our lives, because through his plan, redeeming Rahab then brought about Jesus. And we get to also enjoy now in that reward. And so to apply this, there are two things that I want us to be able to see from this story of Rahab. First is recognize. Recognize your need for God. Have you called out to him? This is first initially for those who are not in the family of God, those who do not have faith in God. If you do not have this faith, then where else are you placing your trust? We see with Rahab, she had a faith and a trust in a culture that was wrong, that was evil, that was sinful. And she recognized that, where is this leading me? This is not leading me anywhere that is going to produce things that are good. It is a selfish way of living. And she recognized that there was somebody greater than her that she needed to call out to believe in, to worship. And so have you done that in your life? And for Christians, for those here at Cloverdale Baptist Church, this is also something that we need to daily do. This is not something that we have just done once in our life and then we go on and say, I don't need to consider God anymore. Yes, once for salvation, but then are we continuing to live in relationship with him? When we wake up, are we saying, today, God, I will need you, because I know that my sin pulls me towards the ditch. When I go on autopilot, my tendency is not to live for God. It is to live for myself. Do I understand that apart from God, I cannot do anything? And so if you are here this morning, maybe you've become cold and recognizing, man, maybe why do I need to live out my faith? Why do I need to live for God today? Well, the reality is, if you've trusted in God for your salvation, then you haven't just trusted in him for your eternal life, your eternal security. You also need to trust in him for your daily need and your daily security. Daily saying, who am I going to hope in? If I've trusted in God with the biggest problem of my life, my sin, my offense before God, then I can trust God with the smaller things in life. And yes, they can be scary things. And when I say small, they can feel like very, very big things. But who are we going to say, I agree with? Are we going to agree with how we feel in the moment? Or are we going to look to God's word and say, that is what I place my trust in? Earlier in the story of Rahab, we see an amazing thing in Joshua 2, verse 21, when these spies are telling her, hey, this is what we will do. If you hang out this scarlet cord, we will come and we will protect you. Upon hearing that, Rahab says, according to your word, so be it. I don't think that means that over the next few days, Rahab didn't have any anxiousness, that she wasn't worried, that she wasn't concerned. But who did she trust in more in those moments? She trusted in God and going, I will believe that I'll be saved and protected even when the circumstances around me doesn't feel like it. Again, recognize your need for God daily. The second thing, respond. Has your faith changed the way that you live? Are your decisions motivated by your interests or living for God? What is the purpose this morning where you came to church? Were you coming here this morning going, I am excited to get to fellowship with other believers, to worship with other believers. I want to exalt God together. Or are you here this morning for maybe other reasons? Maybe it's just a routine. Maybe there's someone else you're trying to please. Is every decision in your life based upon, if I have trusted in God, now I will respond? God has initiated to do an amazing thing in my life, and so I will live for him in every area. Another question to ask within responding, have you let God change you? Again, Rahab, we see that she is this Canaanite prostitute living in her sin, but then she is redeemed to be brought into the people of God. No longer to be regarded as someone who is unclean and you are not a part of us, but her new identity in God is that she is a true daughter of the king. And a part of that is she realized that and she said, and now I'm going to live in line with that. I'm not going to continue living in my sin. I'm not going to continue living in the patterns of the world and the culture, but I'm going to now live for God. And so have you let this new identity, for those of you who are in Christ, it says that you are a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Do you see that happening in your life? Do you see that sin is loosening its grip in your life and you are becoming more like Jesus? And if not, then I would point you back to what we just talked about, your need to recognize who God is and then respond to him and see that, God, I will trust you even when I prefer my sin over what you may say. And when we obey that, we are going to see that God will lead us into freedom. He will loosen sin in our lives. And then we will be used by God in amazing ways, just like we saw with Rahab, that God will be able to use you for his plan, which is the greatest plan for us. God has a purpose for you. And so even if you think that, man, I don't know how God can use someone like me, my sin is so great, look to Rahab and see, no one would have thought that she would do what God used her for, and yet God did. That should be an encouraging thing for our lives where we get to go, God can use broken people for his glory. That should be an encouraging thing for us. And it's not about how much can I do? Can I do enough to live for God? But it is trusting in God and then living in obedience. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Rahab and how she shows us how we can be those who live in faith, even when it's not easy, even when it goes against the culture and what's comfortable. God, we thank you that Rahab shows to us what a faith in you looks like. God, would we be those who also walk in this faith, that as we trust in you, in the small things, in the big things, that it would first be our understanding of you as our Lord, as our God, the one over all. Would that then lead us to trust in you, to know that if you have a plan, God, I can walk through difficult circumstances, knowing that you have the ability to lead me through it. So would we trust you? God, work in the hearts of us this morning to know where we can trust you more. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.